Hi, welcome in Spontaneous Conversations number 3. In today's video, we will be talking about how to manage all that is going on now. And we're going to give different examples of situations, examples of what you can do when hand out practical tools. And we also will contemplate on how we're growing in a period of major change. So stay tuned and enjoy a talk between Jenny Lee Bosch, Leonard Skira, and myself, Lotsi Mirat. Like, subscribe, and share. So, We are live. Hi, everyone. This is Spontaneous Conversations episode 3, if I'm correct. And it's going to be really spontaneous because we don't have a subject yet. I have something in mind, but I'm not sure about it. I just want things to just go. So we have Jenny Lee and Leonard with us today. And I will let them introduce themselves quickly. We're not going to spend too much time on that because we're going to dive into something really interesting.
Yeah.
So,
what would you like us to say? What do you want us to say?
Yes, who are you? I mean, not all my friends know you. So, So who are you? What you do? And yeah, something that pops up.
Yeah. Well, I guess because I'm talking, I don't know. Do you want to go first?
Ladies first.
Okay. Well, my name is Jenny Lee Porch, as you can see, and we usually talk about like our job, right? I always think this is funny because like, how can you really define yourself? Like give a little package to someone like, this is who I am. It's like, no, that's not who you are. But
let's get the job.
Like some definition of what I do in the world, I'll tell you. And it's, I'm a master coach, energy alchemist, and question asker extraordinaire. Love to ask questions. I love to be in the question, hence the group that I'm leading. And you can find more out about that at thedynamicway.co.
Put that in a comment later on so people can find that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Leonard.
Yes, so my name is Leonard and I identify as an artist and an author, but really the introducing the self, that's what makes me nervous during school. Like right now I just have this thinking, I'm just experiencing life, so
yeah,
not label, but you know, in the sense of the third dimension, I have to do this.
I know. You know,
but
it's a sense of each other's energy as well. So like there's something I know about you, you know, that you don't even have to necessarily say. And then it's not that you are always that, right? Because we're continually growing and expanding and changing. But actually you mentioned author and now I'm like curious. I'm like, what have you written? Where can I find it? But
it's still being published.
It's coming out. I see.
Yeah, it's still the process. Yes, I'm really curious to see the end result.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I need to introduce myself to your viewers who don't know me. So my name is Lotfi Mrad, as you can see on screen. I have a company called Intuitive.me, and fun fact is that it was almost called The Questioner. But then I was advised that that would be like not so nice in certain countries, especially those countries who have had a strong secret police, would be like really questioning people and that would scare people off. And I lived now for 5 years in Romania, and that's when I decided on coming up with a new name. So I was like, don't do that one. I was like, okay. And then a certain moment was like, yeah, I do everything through intuition. So yeah, it's Intuitive Me. And then there was the .me domain that just appeared. So intuitive.me.
Awesome.
And it's spelled the Romanian way because some beep person took intuitive.me and used it to reroute to his website. So the perfect name is just in use, but not really being in use. So I was annoyed, but okay. I do a lot of things. I work with people. I love to work with people. I love to cooperate with people. So I was not in the mood to do a live show on my own, just me talking, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, let's invite some friends, some people who have great ideas, who really inspire me. Generally already for many months. Leonard, we just met a few weeks back, but you already talked so much and we already did a show together, and I feel there's much more coming. So I was like, okay, these two will just join me tonight. And I sent the message and the boss said, yes, okay. So it's quite late. It's 1 o'clock in the morning here, 0110. For Leonard, it's 10 past 5 in the morning. He just got up. And yeah, Janet, he's very comfortable.
I'm very comfortable. It's just the afternoon over here. You both were very nice to let me just do this in the afternoon, so.
Yes, but there will be payback next time.
Yeah. I'll wake up super early for you.
No, seriously. What I was feeling today, I mean, actually this evening when I was making my pancakes, I made pancakes tonight, I had plenty of time to listen to an interview from Leonard and then watch some other videos. And things that kept popping up where there's all this change that's happening. And it's really tough for some people. And for some people, it's part-time tough. Like sometimes it's tough and sometimes it's like super cool. And then it's neutral again. And then you have these horrible days. And I, for example, had a day today where only at 6 o'clock in the evening, I started to do something productive. I could not before that. It was just everything was chaos, except for the plumber who came in time and did everything perfectly and like really rapidly. But that was not me doing something. But what I was, whatever I tried to do didn't want to work. And so I would like to talk about how we deal with this and maybe give people tips on how to manage your time and not to lose energy, because we often lose energy when we start to get frustrated. So I, for example, today, as I'm speaking, I'll just continue now, just surrendered. I decided to listen to a few interesting things and play a computer game and just put my feet on the table, just like, okay, there will be this moment that will come and then I'll just know and then I'll do something. And that moment came and I was supposed to watch a video of a course. And yeah, I got all the information I needed. And then after that, I went back to like doing not so much. But yeah, that was my day. And other days I can be like super productive, but at least now I sleep well, because I've had like a full week where I couldn't sleep at all, and then a week like medium, but the energy's changed and now it's like sleeping time. So, but then all week I had to get up very early, so I was like, ah. So Sunday is like one meeting only after 5 o'clock, so I can sleep all day. But that's basically me listening to my body whatever I can, which is also something I recommend for these times. So how about you guys? How are you experiencing this and what do you recommend?
Yeah,
just started early with Jenny Lee. So now Leonard, go.
Yeah. I was like,
No, just the same as you. It's I think these days it's been really like a series of ups and downs. Sometimes you feel like it's so easy to go with the flow. And then there are days it's really a drag. It's really, and what helped me was, and it's still helping me, is not judging the experience. Like, let's say I'm sleeping for like, I wake up like 10 a.m. If my mind judges that, oh, I'm too lazy. Why am I, I'm bumming around. If you put that narrative in your brain and you're creating that momentum. So the next thing you do is something lazier than that, or you're gonna label the next experiences. And this time the energies are intense. The energies are so strong. And if you judge, sometimes we sleep longer because we don't know what's happening with our bodies when we sleep. We don't know what's happening during our dreams or in the astral or whatever dimension. And then when we wake up, when we judge ourselves even more, that doesn't help. If we criticize, if we like criticize ourselves or give ourselves that judgment that I'm doing nothing, or I think maybe celebrating small wins. Mm-hmm. Oh, I fixed my bed. That's a celebration. I was able to clean the bed. Yes. Yeah, that, like, we are so good at being hard on ourselves. We are so good at creating that narrative that I have to do a lot of things today. And that doesn't help.
I love that you said we're so good at being hard on ourselves. So, like, even if you find yourself caught in judgment and self-criticism, you could at least compliment yourself by saying, I'm so good at this right now.
I'm such a good judge of myself. Uh-huh.
I'm so good at this.
I have master's and PhD with self-judgment.
Yeah, people, I have a dedicated video for the self-judging. So check it out on my YouTube channel.
Well, can I ask you before I go into whatever, like, Leonard, like, when you find yourself in that space, what really helps you in that moment? So, like, you're in, like, a spiral of judgment or whatever. Like what's really helpful for you?
Yeah, like, let's say I caught myself in the middle of judging. I attended the Ho'oponopono workshop yesterday, right? So it's like, it taught us about cutting the cords. I thought cutting cords was just on other people. I didn't know it can be like our thoughts. Oh. So I didn't realize I was doing that. So if I caught myself in self-judgment, it's like, oops, we can easily cut that. But if we're in that spiral, like what you're saying, it's difficult. Like, like, oh, how silly is that? How waste of an energy. if I keep judging myself, criticizing myself.
Yeah. That's really interesting because, like, you know, because even when we say, you know, like, this is a waste of energy, right? Like, there's two ways you could say that. You could say that with more self-judgment of, like, now I'm judging myself for judging myself and wasting my energy. Or it could just be like a noticing, right? Like, oh, I'm noticing I'm doing this. I'm noticing it's like taking energy. I can just be like, okay, cut the cord, like you said. I love that you said that, actually. I hadn't thought about that before. And I've heard of the, I'm sorry, I'm saying it wrong. I've heard of that before, yes, but I didn't know. I hadn't heard of that one piece, and so that's really cool.
Mm, that surprised me too. Like that thought of guilt, that's part of our system. We can cut that, or that anger, that frustration, like it's, we can cut that cord if we see the pattern spiraling.
Yeah. Really cool.
That really helps because this is a time where judging ourselves is not going to help.
Yeah, and has it ever? I mean, wow, very cool. All right, so I guess I'm next. Let's see. I had a lot of thoughts, and now I'm going to bring them back. So now I'm trying to get the cords back over here. What was that again? But so something that's been really assisting me right now is this idea of, all right, let me figure out how to say this. So anyways, there's this book called, I gotta find it, come at it another way. So there's this book that I really like called Beyond the Utopian Ideal. And I think that for some of us, as we're moving through this this time of transition and change, we are creating meaning around what's happening now by an idea that after this, there'll be some sort of utopia. And so the book is kind of about this sense of like what if that in and of itself didn't have to be what I was attached to, you know, like what if I didn't have to be attached to whatever comes after this, but I'm willing to really create what's happening right now in the moment. And also not seeing it as this like linear thing that I'm here and I'm trying to get over here. It's like, and I'm from here and I got here, like just letting it all go, right? And understanding that it's always this process of expansion, and that it's not that I'm just trying to get in one particular place. So if I was in this place right now, you know, because now right now we're looking at like chaos and different things, but also a lot of beautiful things too. So like I also don't want to like only say the narrative of destruction and chaos when that's not the only thing that's happening, right? You see a lot of community coming together. You see people talking to each other who haven't talked to each other maybe ever, you know, and like people listening to each other, their stories. It's like, let's actually hear what other people are experiencing, you know, and open our minds about that. And so that's happening too. And so it's not just all dark and grim, no matter what happens, no matter what happens next, you know, because some of that might, who knows what it'll be. But in this moment, if my narrative is more about I'm creating from here, always from here, you know, then I don't have to, like you were kind of saying, like judging it a certain way. I'm not attached to what was because it no longer is. It just isn't, you know, as we've seen, like for a long time, we were kind of just hoping that like the quarantine would end and we can get back to life or whatever. And not that it won't end at some point, you know, I'm assuming it would, you know, at some point it probably will, but like, that doesn't mean that what was is going to be what comes after that. Right. And we could be a part of what's creating. We could be a part of creating what comes after that and not just waiting, you know, like waiting for the utopian future to arrive. We're creating the future that we want to be in. So that's really been encouraging me. It's just like, really, it's powering, right?
Like, it would be a waste of time to wait. And it would also be creating expectations. But then how do you know how it will be? Because I've been listening to different people who are channeling and people who are philosophers and all kind of things. And they're saying different things. So we really don't know what will happen.
Yeah.
So I mean, the Earth will keep turning. But aside from that, I mean, people talk about natural disaster. Other persons talk about total economical collapse. Other person is talking about the USA not being the USA anymore, but splitting up and becoming different. I mean, their states already, so becoming like different states or different countries, whatever it is. People cooperating in a different way, not like one central government dictating everything, but more cooperation between people. But that would also mean like suddenly certain American states would be cooperating with Mexico. So there would be no problems there anymore. There would be no wall anymore because, yeah, everything is changing. But all these are just possibilities, possible outcomes. But nothing will happen if we will sit like this, arms crossed, and maybe even legs crossed, because we're meditating all the time. And then we look around and, hey, the world didn't change. Yeah, everything came to a stop. And now everything is really at a full stop because everyone is just sitting and meditating. Oh, but there's no food anymore because nobody's driving, nobody is harvesting. No, everyone is meditating because then we'll wait for that moment when the world is a better place. No, we need to build a better place. If we don't like what we have, we start from what we have and we start changing things. It's like with every situation you have. If you don't like the house you're living in and you don't like the walls, the wallpaper, you need to take it off and start painting or put new wallpaper. So do something. But then do it differently. Do it more from how will this be sustainable, environmentally friendly, meaning financially sustainable, not to create again a system with debt. Maybe in such a way, whatever you're going to do, I mean, not just talk about your own house, but whatever you're setting up, how will it contribute to others? And not just from the idea that I need to only to be serving others. No, you take very good care of yourself, but what you're going to create needs to be something that's adding value. And look at that, and not creating something because I want to make a lot of money. No, you'll get all the money you need, if there's still money in a few years, but you'll have what you need when you are really doing what you need to do. That's at least what I believe. When you're doing the right thing, then you will also have what you need. And you may have thought that you want to have 1 million a month, but maybe you'll have 10 million a month because you start doing something that requires 10 million a month. So 10 million a month will come to you so that you can keep doing what you're doing, because apparently you're doing something that is really needed for humanity. So the money will flow your way. And if you need only $100 a month, then you'll get only $100 a month, but you'll be still doing what you need to do. And that you do not need to help 1 million people. Maybe you just need to help one person a day with something small. And that's how you make a difference. It's as simple as that. But like Jenny said, be in the here and now. Act now, be in the here and now. And that is what we have been taught, and some of us have been teaching that as well, being in the here and now. And you do that by grounding, by mindfulness, all the different techniques that you can imagine. I mean, yoga is about that, tantra is about that, I mean, meditation is about that, all the different things that we have been seeing coming, and some have gone already. They're all about being really in the here and now and in balance. So, and not to worry too much. Oh, and you are not responsible for the rest of the world.
So one little thing to say about the worrying too is that, you know, not to make yourself wrong if you become afraid. So like if another disaster happens and you happen to live in that place, you'd probably be afraid. Like, you know, so like, yeah. So like, and I wonder what peace you is available to us, you know, that's like lives within us, that we could have greater access to as we begin to, as we move more into ourselves and into our awareness. And I bet too, if you really ask the question to the fear, like, who does this belong to? Is it actually yours? You know, like you, there's a lot of fear in the world right now. And you being a very aware, like intuitive, people being very intuitive, you may be picking up on that. So some of it, or all of it, or whatever, may not be yours. And that could just be like an awareness of like, oh, hey, okay, I can send that back, or I can, you know, I can, with consciousness, right? So I'm helping to, in some sense, like alleviate some of that. But, yeah.
So, the feeling fear is like the feeling pain. It can also be from somebody who's close to you. And because you're so connected, you make a copy for yourself of that fear or of that pain, because with change often comes also pain for a lot of people, because you have to let go of something, or people die, or a company collapses, or whatever. Something is not there anymore. And it's very important that we pay attention to that indeed, with the fear, but also with the pain. Like, is this really mine? For example, when my aunt died last week, I took for a moment on day one, I took a big chunk of the pain of my father. And then I don't remember who it was. No, actually it was you, Jenny, who helped me realize that it was not mine. And so the next day I had a talk with him and I could let go of it. Because he got in a place where he could manage his own pain again. So I just literally helped him for a moment. But what we often do, we make only a copy and the person is still in pain or still in fear, and we have a copy and then we're both suffering, and you're no good to them then, because you're both weak. You better stay in your strength, then you're a good support. So I want to thank you again for that, by the way, for supporting me last week with that.
So how about you, Leonard?
Yeah, I remember all my interviews in my podcast. They all said heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. And everybody I interviewed, they all said heaven on earth and the importance of being in the present moment. I think we can unconsciously navigate through the day with unconscious thoughts and emotions that we didn't realize it's ours, or maybe it's the collective. And then because we're so empathic or intuitive, we absorbed it. And then, but I think that's the thing I've been seeing lately. I think the lesson that we are supposed to learn is to just stay in the now. That those disclosure or those predictions, it might happen, or maybe it won't, or maybe we don't really, like what you said, we really don't know. So I think it's a lesson to just, it's just a guide. And what if it won't happen? What if the real lesson is to trust yourself, that you don't need a disclosure from the galactics or from anybody, because people, a lot of people I know are waiting for that. And it's not right, it's not wrong, but if you depend on somebody to save you from chaos, and that's the reason why they don't intervene or interfere, because they know we're fully capable of rising above this. The humanity is fully capable of that.
Yeah, but people don't know this because we have been conditioned by society and religion that a savior will save us. It can be Jesus, it can be whoever, or that politician who, if you elect him, he will save us all. And we have become really so dependent on everybody except ourselves. We totally lost at a certain moment trust that we actually also are able to do something. And hey, that politician, for example, he's also somebody just like us. So if he can save us, why can we not save ourselves? But it starts at young age, that the teacher at school is the one who will take care of you. And your parents are the ones who will take care of you. And oh, if you're not close to your parents, you're in danger. It starts there already. And that's why a lot of kids, when they go to school on the first day, they scream. They're not just crying, but they scream because they're terrified of being separated from their parents. Because who will protect them? Who will save them if the big danger comes? I've literally saw that on my first school day. Kids were thrown into the classroom, the door was closed, and they were screaming and smashing on the door because they were separated from their parents. And that's how you get trauma at young age. Yay! An extra problem that can be solved 30 years later.
Yeah, if of course it's part of the game of polarity to go through this, but if every person realizes that they have that power, that maybe in some perspective, before birth, those trauma were chosen by that person, because karma is repeated experience, right? So it means before you were here on earth, you chose an experience so that you can release the karma, so that you can release the trauma. That's what Rumi was saying, right?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I really, it's a really interesting question, right? And that can be a sort of something, you know, to tread gently on too for people, because they may have experienced a lot of trauma. But also, not only is this necessarily sort of a thing healing a past, you know, whether lifetimes or whatever, but what if you being the power that you are, moving through whatever trauma that was, did not victimize you, you know, because you were the powerful one in the situation, contributing something and changing the field in some way. So I don't know, I heard that from from someone and I was like, what an interesting idea. Of like, you know, not as it's not like you're making up for your past lives, like, you know, like, or whatever. Like, what if in the now, right now, it did something? There was some sort of contribution. I don't know, like, something to play with, where you can really bring back that sense of, like, I never have to be powerless in this life. You know, you just don't ever have to. And we get told that lie a lot, that we're powerless to really big, big, huge things. You know?
Useless, doomed, incapable. I mean, yeah. Name it.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful perspective. Like, it's like I always hear lately the word sovereign. And the real meaning of sovereign is you have always had the power. You never lost the power. So I just remember the word sovereign when you were talking about that perspective.
Yeah.
And we don't have to be, I don't know if that's programming, but you don't have to, like, be the CEO of this company or be this one. Like, that comparison that we have to be something big in the eyes of the world. Like, it's not like it's a standard. It's another programming of competition or comparison. Like, we can do a lot of difference even with what's in front of us. Like, even at home, or we don't even have to broadcast on YouTube, not unless you feel called to do it or you feel like it's your calling, but you don't have to do something big. Just what feels good for the heart, right?
Yeah. That's really, really beautiful. You know, because that also made me think of, and just as a last thing about trauma, because we all experience it to some level or whatever, right? Is that it reminds me of when people talk about it as, you know, you shifting also an energy momentum, right? So, like, it may have been this energy of abuse or something that's in families, and we pass it along and along and along. And whether you want to look at that as energetically or, like, literally the way that, you know, you learn something from your parents and you kind of copy that, right? Because your brain, how your brain learns how to operate in the life, you know. But, like, so even if you don't want to take meaning from it, it doesn't necessarily have to, and you don't have to. If something resonates with you, that's great. If it doesn't, chuck it to the side. It's not yours. It's not true for you. And but there's that other piece of, like, the way people, when they have come through something really, really difficult, and they decide not to show up in the world in that way, not to repeat it. You know, you shift something. You make a change by virtue of just doing that, because the momentum was trying to come through you to repeat it into the world, right? And you're saying no. Like, that is a powerful, powerful thing. And this makes me think of the book, I have it on my desk so I can see it, The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible by Charles Eisenstein. And I really like that book. One of the reasons is that he really talks about this sense of oneness and connectedness at, like, you know, the deepest level between all of us. And that even the thing that we do that creates greater possibility, even the smallest thing that we do, the thing that's most hidden, we've created some freedom in our own personal selves or whatever, it creates that sort of ripple effect in the energy of the world. You know, if you've liberated yourself from something, anything, you have made that possible, that much more possible for somebody else, even way across the world. You know, what's really cool is that we three of us are talking all across the world right now.
In the Americas, Europe, and Asia. Okay, let's try to get somebody from Africa and Australia as well. No, I should say Oceania. You cannot ignore New Zealand, for example.
And this is for me, this is already a milestone. This label again, this introvert extrovert label. I just think this is a label, but everybody can shift from one pole to another. But if I'm used to that introvert thing, going live, because like what Jenny Lee was saying earlier, when we were preparing, like it has a different energy when it's recorded and when it's live. So I think this is already
There's no cutting out.
Yeah, you can say anything and then it's already there. It's out there. If it triggers somebody, you cannot do anything about it. So
yeah. If somebody's mad at you and he comes to your place and punches you, it will be live broadcast.
Yeah, it's part of the game. Like I was telling my friend earlier, if everything is fine and dandy, then why are we here? We should have been in another realm. We should have been the angels and the spirit guides. We should have been guiding humanity in that way because we were better. But why are we here? Why are we alive experiencing this?
Yeah, but then you would be like, come on, why are these humans so slow? Gosh, I just told you where to go. Why are you not going there? Why are you taking a left turn? Just told you to go right. I mean, you have other problems there. Like, hey, I'm supposed to get that guy over there. Why is he not going? And then the other angel comes flying in like, hey, you didn't do your job again. You didn't reach your target.
I wonder how much it's really not that stressful up there or whatever. That's our perspective of right and wrong being projected at the angels who are like,
they're just laughing. They're laughing their asses off. Oh, he's gonna bump into that wall now because he didn't listen to me again. Bing! Yay!
That's how the memes go on Facebook. Like the angels are frustrated and they send the chinchilla, the angel number, and the human don't get it. I just find it that I think we're all heroes. Like if you're alive in 2020, having seen all these massive shifts, whether you're aware of the awakening year or not, I think that's not the point. I think the fact that you're just alive in 2020, like a lot of people want to be here, want to witness this massive shift, but we are here. Like it doesn't matter what you're doing. You're playing a role. I think you're playing a role for somebody. Like we used to talk about this in one of my friend's circle, like that bad guy in your story, he played a role to awaken you into somebody you are today. That abuser in your story, of course, if we're still healing from that, it's hard to like swallow it. Like somebody really signed up to awaken something, but once we healed from it, we can realize, oh, that person, that bad guy in my story was a catalyst to make me become who I am today.
Yes. Help you to own your own respect, for example, not to be a doormat or whatever it was that you had to learn in the process. Mm-hmm. But the same way, I encourage everyone to take an hour and write down per year that you've lived, for each year, the names of the people, or if you don't remember the names, just a description like, oh, the guy sitting next to me in that class that year that you influenced. And you may be surprised how important we have been, all of us, whether we were the kind person or the bully, we did influence. And it's okay to judge and to say, yeah, we did a good thing or we did a bad deed, doesn't matter. It's okay, because then you can even forgive yourself for what you did and see like, hey, it was just part of the process, because by now you probably know that, yeah, that person just needed a kick in his ass to stand up straight for once, because he was always like this and he needed to have to defend himself to realize like, hey, okay, it's enough. I don't accept this anymore. I need to respect myself. And once I do that, then people also start to respect me. I mean, that's how I learned. I had plenty of bullies in my life until I stood up for myself. And then it stopped. From one day to another, it stopped. Many years later, I got bullied again by one guy until I stood up for myself again, and then it was over. And then whoever would try it would fail instantly, because I was not taking in that stuff anymore, because I had learned what I had to learn, and I was like, no, it stops here.
So that's really interesting, right? Because I think it's really important not to go back and guilt yourself or shame yourself on the past or things you've done or anything, right? Yeah. And so it's the sense of, you know, what if I have not done anything wrong?
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't have to come at that sense of like not having guilt and shame and whatnot by saying that, well, it must have been right then. It doesn't have to be right either. So what if I didn't have to be wrong, but I also didn't have to be right? And I just made choices, and I can make a different choice right now if I want to. And just look at what's happening in our life right in this moment and say, hey, will this create greater for myself and the planet? You know, and if it does, then choose that. Not that it's right or wrong, but I'm just going to choose it because it's going to create greater. And if it's not, then maybe I don't choose it. Or maybe I do, but I don't make myself wrong for that. And I just choose again. You know, that's at least how I approach it.
Yeah, that's how Bashar said it.
That's the advanced level. This may be difficult for some people, but then it's okay to start by just forgiving yourself first.
Yeah.
To make peace with yourself or whatever you did. Because I know I did hurt people. So for me, it was really needed to accept that, forgive myself, say sorry to them, and then I found the peace. And then I started to move towards like, yeah, but actually I really had to do that. And I could see why it was important for that person in the end. But it's okay to start with, when you have the feeling of guilt, how to get rid of that. Start by forgiving yourself. That's okay. That's making peace. And from there you can grow and start to see the bigger picture. And then you can get to a certain point, like when now I upset somebody, I just look like I didn't have the intention to upset. So that was a button that needed pushing. That's it. I mean, and if somebody says to me, oh, you did that, I'm like, what? And I just walk away. But I had to grow to that. So it's a growing process. And yes, a lot of people grew to that point, but I believe there are still a lot of people who already, it would be a huge step for them to say, okay, I forgive myself. So I don't want to disencourage people like, hey, you should be up all the way up there. No, I mean, take the steps, but know what you're working towards to. Start here, start by forgiving yourself, forgive others, and then start to see the bigger picture. And then you can see like everything is okay. Just like Janelise said.
Yeah, that sense of right and wrong is the creating a momentum. Because I think you can shift the question, like, is this serving me or not? Because in some way, if somebody or other people outside of you perceive that as wrong, immoral, or bad, but if it's serving you, if it's expanding you, or if it's creating a momentum for you, and only you know, only us know what's good for us. So I think that right and wrong thing will create a momentum of more judgment, I think. It will create a momentum of the next what's right, what's wrong, instead of riding the flow of spontaneity. The source will not flow through if you're not spontaneous, if you keep calculating the next move.
Yeah. Well, that, and you don't, and it goes back to that autonomy piece or sovereignty piece. You know, so like if I'm concerned with this being the right choice or the wrong choice, I'm not choosing. I'm letting something else choose for me, you know, and I'm not saying go out and harm people.
yeah.
Because no, ask yourself, would that create greater for you and the planet? You know, so like, you know, you decide. But like in that sense of I'm choosing, I'm always choosing, you know, that's at least how I approach it, right? I'm not even just necessarily just like flowing along, you know, but I'm actively a part of, I'm actively creating my world. If I'm the sovereign of my world, I'm creating my world. I've got to do it, you know? So that's how I approach it.
Yeah. This, nice. this labels, really. It's part of the earth. I forgot to say, I just realized it now. I was saying we are heroes, those who are alive. I think those who crossed over, those who chose to die, and they are also heroes. They serve a role, like a divine purpose, to maybe give a lesson for humanity, and that's not an easy thing to go through, and especially in this crucial time. I think we are all heroes, even if you're already in another dimension, in the absolute sense, we're all connected, we're all one.
Everyone is doing his thing, and then certain moment, I'm done, okay, I'm gonna have a break, and see you later. I mean,
see you later.
It's that simple. So, any last thoughts? Because I know Jenny Lee is on the clock today. I mean, generally she is. Like, 1 hour! I have another thing! I have to be somewhere else. I have to do something else. So, talking about good and bad. I cannot be late.
I've got things.
It's okay. Busy woman. So any last thoughts, something you want to recommend? It can be like you recommend a book, or you recommend doing something, or you put a question for people to take home with them.
I think the thing I have in mind is don't forget to have fun. Yeah, we're learning the lesson. We're shifting to difficult times, and we're grieving with a lot of losses, necessary losses. But we're here because we chose to be here. And if you lost that fun or that excitement, I think the universe wants you to be like that child again who's excited for a birthday present every day. And you have to be excited with the unknown, because that's how, I think that's what the Bible said, be like little children. Unless you become like little children, you don't enter the kingdom of heaven. In my interpretation, that's be that child again, that child that feels excitement every day, no judgment, no bias. Yeah, that's it.
I love that so much. And that's such a you thing too. I love that. Thank you. I love having fun, and I'm still having fun, and I appreciate you reminding me to have more fun. And pancakes.
I mean, I would love, I was really feeling like, yeah, we should have a feast together and enjoy it. I'm like, that's going to be difficult. Even by courier, it would take like, yeah, it would be there on Tuesday or so. I mean, it would
I
last.
I appreciate the thought, though, you know.
I mean, quite a bunch. I mean, even a few more, but they're thicker and then with grapes in them. So, yeah. But I'll be sharing tomorrow with a friend. So, or the day after tomorrow, depending when we meet. So, about enjoying life, yes?
Yes. That's because awesome. We can learn the lesson. We can learn the lesson while having fun. Like I said to my friend, like 2 days ago, it doesn't mean that everybody's suffering. You have to suffer. If you don't feel like, if you feel so happy, why would you feel guilty with being happy and everybody's sad? You can be like the anchor that will pull them into your peace. Like it's not, it doesn't make sense that you have to, empathy can be viewed in a different way. You can be happy if you want to.
I love that so much.
Jenny, any something you want to share as a closure?
Are you muted?
I know. I feel like there's going to be sounds in a second. So, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, something that we're playing with in the group is that sense of being the question, right? So even right now, as we're going through a lot of transition, and even if it weren't, but just this idea of like, what could be possible if I stopped concluding that this and this and this and this was happening, but I was allowing myself just to continually stay curious and just ask ourselves questions like, what else is possible here? How does it get any better than this? What's right about this I'm not seeing? You know, there's so many questions. and then I think the other thing is just to an invitation for us to just hold ourselves with a lot more gentleness, you know? So going back to that right and wrong piece of like, maybe I don't have to be wrong. I don't have to make myself wrong on so many things. Maybe I don't have to be right. I don't have to worry about getting it right. It's usually kind of how we're, you know, have that little tension there with that. I'm worrying about getting it right, or I'm concerned that I've got it wrong, or I did something wrong, or, you know. What if we could just be super gentle with ourselves? Even if the world is being gentle with us, if we can do that for ourselves, it is really powerful. So that's my invitation.
Nice. Now I need to come up with something smart too. I mean, you two came with very beautiful things. So now, like, okay, what can I bring to the table? I will bring the usual, because it's really crucial. It's listen to your body, like really listening, like when it needs to rest, when you need to sleep. I mean, those are two different things. Sometimes you have these periods where you cannot sleep, but then you just rest. And I had many nights where I barely slept, but I just laid down and rested, and I was fine. And everyone has a different body and also can be in a different situation. So just listen to your body. Don't be obsessed with what science is saying, because those are averages. And today they publish something and tomorrow they're going to say it's wrong anyway. And with that also to ground. Like physical grounding, like literally going with your feet on the grass or touch a tree with your hand, preferably with two hands, so you discharge faster the excess of electrons in your body. And find your inner peace by meditation. And it's not only like this complicated position with your legs and sitting up for 6 hours and not moving and talk. No, you can be even going to the park, sit in the park or have a peaceful walk, but peaceful. And that will help you to relax and to be aware of your surroundings. So not playing music as well, but like really being there in the moment, in the here and now. And you may see suddenly a beautiful sunset, or you'll see a bird that you never saw before, or a little bug somewhere. And even if you are on a video call, like I was 2 days ago with one of my best friends, and I was like, hold on, I will change camera now. Look at this beautiful sky. So I was still in the here and now. We were talking about what we were going through and stuff and how we're dealing with everything. But I was in the park and like, okay, look. So it was like walking together. And we don't live in the same country. Yeah, we're both in Europe, but she's like 2,200 kilometers away. So, but still we can share these things. And this is also part of the relaxation, is to connect with those that feel good for you, that make you feel good, who don't suck your energy, but who lift you up. And I want to add to that, that those who support you, you're not always obliged to do something in return. Let it be an organic thing. Maybe I help Jenny Lee, and then Jenny Lee is helping Leonard, and then Leonard, in the end, is helping me. Jenny Lee doesn't need to help me back. And that's also something we're moving towards too. So, yeah. That's it. Hey, why did you get muted, both of you? Oh.
Because there's sounds.
Oh, okay, so I was like, what did I do? I didn't touch anything. It's the first time I do this live.
We're letting you talk.
So yeah, I really want to thank you both for joining me spontaneously. And I knew it would be nice. I had no idea which way it would go, but I really enjoyed this. And we're gonna do it again.
Yeah, this is a really cool topic. So I'm glad that you had that on your mind. So thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you for, you know, I really love this, you know, this conversation, this energy here. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you, the both of you, and I just think when it's spontaneous, it ends well than when we plan it.
Isn't that judging?
Yes. Yes.
You know what I like? I like that you're seeing the possibilities in all, and even in spontaneity.
So, guys, thank you. And please stay on for a second. I will end the broadcast now. So, everyone, each of us will put in the comments a link to his website, YouTube channel, Jenny Lee, the book that you mentioned.
Sure.
Yeah. People may not have caught the title and the author. Mm-hmm. And I'll add a link to the grounding, how you can ground, and even the relaxation, the meditation. And Leonard, you add also something if you feel like, okay, this is a great tool for people to use now, but at least put your YouTube channel, because you have brilliant interviews with some beautiful people who are saying some very, very sensible things. So, put it there, please. Mm-hmm. And see you whenever we see you again in the next broadcast. Bye, everyone. Like, subscribe, and share.